have two sessions today, which we will also do tomorrow, the same thing, part one and part two. And the topic is ethics and Christianity. The first part will be a bit more like a lecture than a workshop, although I do want some interchange. The second part will have more interchange because we will be talking about the role of Christianity in changing ethics, both of the individual and of societies and of whole nations. But the first part, I want to look at the question of ethics from a cultural, historical, and philosophical point of view. So, forgive me, we're going to do a little bit of history, but since China invented history, I'm sure you don't mind. But let's start with something that happened in the United States in May, in Colorado, in a high school called Columbine High School, when two young boys, 16 and 17, went into the school with guns and killed 13 people and then killed themselves. And among the people killed were 8 people we know were Christian, and one girl was killed particularly because she said she believed in God. Terrible tragedy. Shocked everybody, especially Americans. And after the tragedy, everybody started saying, how do we explain this? And if you were a visitor from Mars, the planet Mars, or from China, you might say, this is very interesting. The Americans explained this tragedy in different ways. First of all, the journalists, the media, the people on television who always tell you what they think about everything, talking heads we call it, they said, oh, it's simple. The reason for the tragedy in Columbine is no law against guns. Should be tighter gun control. Too many Americans have too many guns. So, if you take away the guns or you stop people having guns, no more tragedy like Columbine. That's what one group said. Another group of people said, well, it's more complicated. The reason for the tragedy is the parents don't spend enough time with the children. The children run around and do everything. Another group of people said they're watching terrible television, videos, lots of shooting and violence. And another group said, look at the internet. They're all going to these terrible websites with Nazi Germans and fascists and other people, and they're getting these ideas from the internet. And yet another group of people said, well, the problem is the schools don't teach right and wrong. So one television group, television team, went into the Columbine High School and they talked to the teachers and the principals. And they said, do you teach the children the difference between right and wrong? And the teacher said, well, it's very complicated. We teach certain kinds of behavior is appropriate and inappropriate, and we should respect people even if they disagree with us. And the television journalist said, do you teach right and wrong? Do you teach the children it is wrong to kill people? Well, it's very complicated. Very complicated business. Finally, the television reporter talked to a student and said in the school, in this school, do they teach you right and wrong? And the student said, no. They never told us it was wrong to kill people. Never. One of the things that's happened in our society here in the United States, I'm going to explain it in a little bit more detail in a moment, is a change in how the educational community looks at the question of ethics. But we have to ask ourselves, what is ethics? What is morality? How do we know what is right and what is wrong? In a democracy, does anybody have the right to say, my values are right and your values are wrong? Do we have the right to say that? If we believe that everybody should have his or her belief in any values, doesn't that lead to relativism? Relativism means when nobody believes anything is better than anything else. Is that the kind of society we want to live in? These are questions raised when we discuss the issue of ethics. Somebody told me a Chinese Cheng Yu, Shi Wu Fa Wu Qian, very good description of human behavior when it goes wrong. No law and no heaven. Well, what does it mean? It means a person is not restrained in his behavior because he fears the law, because he fears somebody might control him, nor is he restrained because in his heart he fears God. Wu Fa Wu Qian. And that is one of the situations that arises in a society where ethics goes downhill. Now, in Confucian China, traditional China, ethics was very, very important, especially in the Confucian system. The teaching of ethics was part of the teaching of government. Children must respect parents. A tradition which is still broadly accepted in Chinese culture. A wonderful tradition, a very good tradition. Parents should obey authorities above them. Authorities above them should obey the emperor. And the emperor is responsible to heaven. Qian. So even in Confucian China, where there was no state religion, you could say that under Confucianism there was a moral continuity, an ethical continuity between ordinary people at the bottom of a family right up to the emperor, to God. There was a line of connection. Now in the West it was a little different. The Greeks considered ethics. They looked at it and they said, what is ethics? Aristotle, I've written him up here, Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, wrote a great deal about ethics, and basically he said, ethics is something you practice. You become ethical by practicing ethical standards. Getting all caught up here. And the Greeks believed that good ethics was like good painting. How do you become a good painter? By practicing, by doing it. You become ethically good by practicing good ethical behavior. The concept to the Greeks was not, you must be good because God said so, or because the ruler said so. But ethics were needed in Greek society to protect freedom. The Greek republics with small communities, maybe 30,000 people. A citizen had to be able to fight, to vote, to read, to write, to understand behavior that made possible this early democratic kind of community. Therefore, it was important to practice these virtues, these ethics, that made possible a peaceful democratic society. Now, this was before Christianity. When Christianity came in the West, of course it grew up in the Roman Empire, it taught that what is wrong with human beings is sin. It's the condition of the heart that is sinful. All human beings, Christianity taught, are sinful. No matter what their culture, race, background, we are all sinful before God. Only through Christ can we begin to change. Can we become the people that God wants us to be? Now, it's interesting to see that Christianity had a very interesting effect upon the Roman Empire when it became adopted as the official religion. But let's stop for a moment and ask this question. Do Christians believe that all other cultures that are not Christian, that they have no good values? Is that what Christians believe? No, that is not what Christians believe. Christians believe all societies, all cultures, have some very good values. And the famous writer, Christian writer, C.S. Lewis, wrote a book called The Abolition of Man. And he studied many, many different cultures. And he concluded that all cultures have something built into them that points to goodness that human beings want to practice. Human beings want to practice goodness in certain areas. And he called this principle the Dao. Very interesting. He used the Chinese term. And what did he mean by the Tao? Well, he came up with six characteristics. I will mention these. You don't have to pay a lot of attention to them, but they're interesting. The first one was the law of good behavior. Be kind. Don't hate people. Don't lie. Don't kill people. Don't tell lies about people. Give money, give help to people who need it. And he says all cultures, Chinese, Anglo-Saxon, Greek, Indian, German, Native American, all have these principles within them as ideals of good behavior. That's one, the law of benevolence. Two, duty to family. Of course, China developed this very strongly. Parents should respect and obey, children should respect and obey parents. Parents should look after and protect children. Husbands should protect wives. Marrying and having children was good, and people should look after the old and the widows. The third, the law of justice. Every society should know what right is and what wrong is. Private property should not be taken away. You should not give money to officials, bribe them, in order to get something from them. Four, the law of good faith and truthfulness. Any kind of cheating, lying, telling false things would be wrong. a strong Chengyu from China. I'm not sure what it is in Chinese. Be of unwavering good faith. 怎么说用中文？我不知道。 So, don't lie. 忠实, don't lie. No, do not promise to do something if you don't plan to complete it. Okay, 5, the law of mercy. The law of mercy. The strong should protect the weak. They should protect the sick, the old, the dying, the old men and the widows again. And 5, the law, what they call the law of magnanimity. I would, to use an easier word, the law of being a good person. That is, the great qualities of life are honor, truthfulness, and courage. Courage, being brave to do the right thing. So C.S. Lewis said, and he was a Christian, he said, these are some of the things that we see in all cultures. Why do we see them? Because the Christian believes the whole world was created by God, was made in the image of God, and even though people had sin in their hearts, nevertheless, all human beings had also something God created within them that says, we do want good. We do want a good society. We do want to be honest. Now, there are some difficulties with the Tao. Let's give some examples. Even though all cultures have the Tao within them, they also have many other bad things. Let me give you a few examples. In Europe, before Christianity came, if you were Danish or a Viking, if you were a woman married to a Viking man and he died, you were burned with the body, living. Same practice in India until 1829. Exactly the same thing. The Vikings believed that, yes. Not the dowry, no. This is, if your husband dies, and he's a Viking, or he's an Indian, then he's burned on this big funeral pyre, and you're burned too, even if you don't want to. Yes. Well, okay, Viking, these are the people who came from Denmark and Norway, long blonde hair and horns in their helmets, and were going around defeating everybody. And now this is an Indian word, sati. This means the practice of burning wives when their husbands die. This was legally abolished in India by the British in 1829. Now it's come back. It's come back. Very disturbing. Okay. Those were two of the practices. You also had, throughout the world, slavery. One group of people taking prisoner another and saying, you will work for us, you will do what we want you to do, or we will kill you. The same societies that had the Tao also had human sacrifice, like in Europe, the Druids. These were people who believed, in order to please the gods, you have to kill somebody, sacrifice them. And this practice, human sacrifice, went on throughout Europe until the Christians came and said, this is wrong. In fact, Year 325 AD was when the Roman Empire adopted Christianity. So the Romans, most of them, became Christians. But Europe did not become Christian, all of Europe, until 1000. 700 years before Europe began to change. And how did it change? Because Christians went and said, we believe all human beings are God's creatures. Nobody should burn a human being because the husband is dead. Nobody should enslave a human being. Nobody should sacrifice a human being for religious reasons. And furthermore, the Christians brought the idea of education. We'll come to this in a moment. Okay. In the second workshop, I'm going to talk about the effect of Christianity on ethics in Europe in a big way. But what I want to do now is to explain why ethics have begun to change in Europe and the United States and in many parts of the world. I just want to go through some of those changes. Now, at the time of the American Revolution, I don't know whether you can see this, in 1776, what we call the founders, Washington, Madison, Jefferson, either they were Christian or they were deists, people who were not Christian but they believed in God. But all of them, without exception, they all believed in Christian values. They believed a husband should be faithful to a wife. It was wrong to murder people. Human sacrifice was wrong. They very much believed in the Tao, but they believed in the Tao plus the changes that Christianity had brought into the world. And it's very interesting. The founders of the United States looked at the question, is it possible to have freedom and a republic without religious restraint? And here's what they said. Madison, one of the people who wrote the Constitution, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other people. In other words, you cannot have democracy unless people inwardly are willing to restrain their behavior, not just by law. Law is not enough. There has to be something else. And Washington wrote this in his final address to the American people. I'll read it very slowly. In fact, I tell you what, I will paraphrase it. I will translate Washington into simple English. Understand. It is wrong to say that you can have morality without religion. He said, if you try to remove religion, which I guess is the fear of God, from education, from society, do not expect people to behave in a good way. They won't. That's what Washington said. Washington saw into the future. What would happen if freedom by itself were not restrained by ethics? He understood that. Now, what happened in the United States really started in Europe with, where have we got him? Voltaire and Rousseau and what's called the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment was a rejection of Christianity. The Enlightenment philosophers, people like Voltaire and Rousseau, said Christianity is wrong. If human beings are simply using their brains, they can solve all problems. Rousseau believed that if you destroy the church, destroy Christianity, allow people to live completely free lives, morally free, you will have a good society. That's what he believed. And that belief began to influence the intellectuals of Europe. Now let me stop and open up a little bit. Why do you think intellectuals were attracted by the belief of Rousseau, who said human beings are basically good? Why do you think they liked that? Yes, they liked it so they could have freedom. Oh, I like my neighbor's wife. If nothing is wrong, why can't I go and have relations with my neighbor's wife? Who tells me it's wrong? There's no God. There are no principles. What else? Yes. Yes, exactly. That's right. Very good point. Intellectuals tend to look down on other people. He has no education. He didn't finish high school. He didn't go to college. I'm an intellectual. I know more. I can do more things. Very flattering to intellectuals to believe that human nature is good and there are no restraints that one should pay attention to. Well, this belief had terrible consequences. Let's go briefly back to 1776, America. I said most of the founders of America were either Christian or they were deists. They believed in God, but not necessarily Jesus. But they all believed that the Christian values were good values. Benjamin Franklin, who lived in Philadelphia, had his own concept of virtues, good behavior. He talked about temperance, which means not getting drunk, order, resolution, sincerity, justice, moderation, being clean, being polite, being calm, being sexually chaste, and being humble. These were the virtues of Benjamin Franklin. Now, Benjamin Franklin was not a priest. He was not an outspoken Christian, but he believed these virtues were necessary for a good society. And those virtues were things that the Greeks had been pushing for a long time. Now, what happened in Europe, and the change in Europe then came back to the States, was that because of Rousseau and because of Karl Marx, intellectuals began to believe that human nature was either good or just neutral, just in the middle. And the way to change ethical behavior in society was to change structure. People believed in science. Marx believed that he had a science of human behavior that was explained by economics. And so, from the 19th century in Europe, the view that you could build a society that was a good society without dealing with character, the heart, with ethics, grew among the intellectuals of the period. In fact, there's one person I should write. The German philosopher Nietzsche went even further. He said, God is dead and we have killed him. And he said, Christians and Jews were weak people who did not accomplish what the human nature was capable of accomplishing because they were frightened of what God might do. That's what Nietzsche said. And yet, Nietzsche also prophesied. He said, the 20th century would be a century